And welcome to yet another KVSH special. If this opening music sounds familiar, it's how I used to open the morning scramble back when I did the morning scramble. But I got to thinking, what better sound to start a show that is supposed to just pop in out of nowhere when you least expect it? What better sound to start with than the increasingly elusive fairy horn? I am your host, Jeff Hoyt. Today we visit with a couple of former KVSH show hosts in their own right. You know these two. They are island icons, embroidered into the very fabric of our good island. You've heard them sing. They've made you laugh. You've been at many a public event where they stood before you as masters of ceremonies. You've seen one of them suspended from the ceiling in very precarious poses. Now they are about to stage a very ambitious, full-on rock musical this summer at a venue in Seattle, and we just got to know more. Please welcome Martha Ensign and Kevin Joyce.
Jeff, we're so glad to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, yeah. Venus and the Vixens.
Yep.
You are raising the funds to make this happen right now, so elevator pitch, please.
Elevator pitch for Venus and the Vixens.
Go, Mart. This is you.
The show is a very interactive rock musical, and it's based on the myth of Cupid and Psyche, so it's sort of an epic love story with a fabulous band, all female, disco electro pop band led by Venus, who's their lead singer. And the audience experience will be about an hour of games and food and drink. Ruby Brink is doing the catering for the show. It's at the Emerald City Trapeze Arts down in Soto on 6th and Lander.
Uh-huh.
And the show will start with very much an interactive, fun prizes, games, getting to know people in a non-technological, fun way. And then the show starts, and it's a full-on musical. I know. Shocking, right? I'm writing a musical.
How long? You talked on stage. You had your fundraiser Kickstarter kickoff.
Yeah.
Hey, I like the alliteration.
Thank you.
At Open Space recently, and we were there and got to play giant Jenga and various games.
Yes. I mean, part of Martha's inspiration was to get people out of their isolation and their social media overload and just come out and play. And theater performing arts are having a really hard time gathering audiences. And I think with what's happening in the world and what's happening with technology, they got to kind of reinvent themselves. So Mars inspiration was have people come out and play and then have a show that is also interactive. So the other part of the show.
Well, the basic myth, the story of Cupid and Psyche is that Psyche's female, human, excuse me. She is female. That's kind of irrelevant. But she's human, mm-hmm. and Cupid falls on his own arrow and falls in love with her.
Because she's the most beautiful human ever created.
That may be why he fell on his arrow. He just could have gotten up and tripped. We don't really know, but he does fall in love with her, and she
is based on a true story.
True myth.
Oh, okay.
It's one
happens
of the,
all the time,
one of the
Jeff.
Greek myths. I love
that's
that.
That's what myths are about. They just tell the story of what happens all the time.
But Venus is not thrilled with this because she really hates Psyche. Psyche is the most beautiful woman. Yeah, and so she makes it hard for Psyche. Psyche is basically banished. And she tries to get back by passing these three tests. And the three tests in the story are not as exciting as what we're going to do. Don't give them away. Okay. Anyway, the audience has to help her pass these three tests.
So there's two levels of audience interaction. The first hour is the audience playing games with each other.
Right.
And a bunch of really, really charismatic game runners consisting of Dionysus and other smaller gods.
I was roped into giant Jenga almost immediately by Esther.
Right.
And there I was.
And she is
Chris
not Overstreet. A minor goddess.
Right.
She's a major
and we have two kind of very famous Seattle interactive performers, Caleb Kerr and Manuela Horn, as two of the first of who will be five game leads. We're just going to create a raucous environment. And then at the end, the audience has to help.
So the actual show has an interactive element.
Exactly.
It does.
Oh.
And it's not interactive in like the stand-up comedy way where you're suddenly on stage and have to do something stupid. That's not the goal of this.
It's not forced either. You don't have to do it at all.
Not at all. It's completely consensual.
As it were.
and it's really much more about people having fun and choosing to interact with each other.
When you were on stage, you were talking about this having been the seed of an idea that goes back a ways.
It goes back a really long ways.
How far back does it go, and how has it changed from its genesis to where what it has become?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it came from, we were requested to generate a show for a parlor, the parlor, was that what it was called?
Yeah, it was a billiards parlor.
Billiards hall in Bellevue.
Really and unique, the guy had broad a, place. He had a range.
He had a good idea. He had an image. He wanted to do a really fun, interactive show. And the Venus and the Vixens were one of the one piece of this whole thing that we were going to do. It ended up not happening. But the idea was born then. That was in the early 2000s. Oh. And then it just kind of sat down.
So a couple of decades. Yeah,
I mean,
years.
We had Ruby. We started Enjoy. I did Rebel Women, if you remember that piece. Mm-hmm.
And we had 20 years of doing business-to-business events to make a living for the Microsofts of the world, which are the pieces Martha creates, theatrical pieces for corporate events. And then we do 50 nonprofits. I mean, 40 to 50 nonprofits per year supporting nonprofit causes. And so we haven't really had the opportunity, very rarely, to actually create our own art from scratch. And this, we just... Martha's idea came out of the pandemic. It's been sitting there for a long time. It really gestated.
It was one of the dangers of the pandemic was having more time.
But we decided to go for it. And we're going out on a crazy honking limb. Crazy long. I won't say any of the seven words you can't say on the radio, but we've said them a lot at home. Like, what the blankety blank? Because, you know, we have to raise a boatload of money to make this happen. And we're hiring 35 artists and performers and technicians. And Martha's got a huge vision.
We're working with amazing people on and off island. The show will not be performed in its full form on the island because we can't mount it twice.
But it was
and
really
we need the audience
here.
Space. In the city, but it really has been developed here. And we've done workshops out here and we've had a lot of chance to try out games and things like that. So there's definitely an island route to it. But the show itself is May 30th to June 16th at the Emerald City Trapeze Arts.
That's Venus and the Vixens, Games of Love.
Coming
May 30th
soon.
Through June 16th.
To a trapeze center near you.
Venusandthevixens.com, by the way.
Okay, since you brought up some of these past lives that you guys have lived, and I've known you during all this time that you have lived all these different creative arcs in your careers, I thought it would be fun to just mention these things that I know you from and have you tell me how that experience informs or is inserted into what you're going to be doing with Venus and the Vixens.
All right.
Love
it. We'll see if we can remember them, Jeff.
Starting, of course, with Umo.
We were just on the phone with a theater professor of mine from when I was doing my master's thesis in 1988 when Umo was forming, and we had just done our first production together on the East Coast, and we were taking it to Boston, and we had to bring another person because one of the women in the original production was French and she had gone back to France, and this theater teacher of mine jumped in and performed with us. And he just made a big donation to our Kickstarter. So we were talking to him on the phone and saying to him that we still have all our holidays with the original core of Umo. We still create a show once a year all together. All our kids have grown up together.
And they're still our dearest friends.
There's really nothing that has ever ended about our relationship to Umo, except that neither of us are actually ensemble members in the company anymore.
I mean, open space the other night, David and Janet's spot, they are our oldest colleagues. I met them in 1984. We've known them 40 years. We've known them almost as long as Martha and I have been together. And that was the spot where we launched our Kickstarter. It could not have been more meaningful. We create with them, you know, they're huge, huge parts of our artistic inspiration and
our family.
And our family. I mean, and you know, when David and I first met, we wrote a song about Janet for her birthday. I won't sing it now because it's kind of offensive.
Yeah, it's probably got those words in it.
Does it have those words in it?
It might have some words in it. Yeah. But I mean, music writing and singing and performing together and creating crazy characters, that's where it started for us.
Yeah, and every year at Oregon Country Fair, how many years have you guys performed together at
32?
Oregon Country
Fair?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
32?
That's a little scary.
Have there ever been any semblances of the thing you're about to do that sort of popped up first or maybe reared its head in some way during
that
those Oregon Country Fair shows?
In Venus?
Well,
that's interesting. Well, we're doing a zip line We have to do a zip line with
Well,
Nemo?
Venus is being played by Kayla Bailey, whom we met at the fair when she was seven.
and now
she's almost 40, and she's always been an amazing star in all of our, you know, Esther and David and Janet and Bill and Stefan and all of us have known her forever. And there's a little bit of a burlesque component to this, and it's mostly an interactive show about love. And that's always been part of the Oregon Country Fair and always been part of UMO.
Yeah, this is great. Mm-hmm. Teatro Zanzani. You have a long history there, too.
We do. Since about 2000, Kevin did his first run down in San Francisco because we had just built our house. And I was there by myself in this brand new shell of a house with our dog for 4 months writing a show. That's so interesting. That was when we were writing...
Cities. Another UMO show.
But I think the immediacy of Zanzani, the performers in the crowd feeling... The food and drink engaged into the show.
The incredible high level of the production values, the performers and the production values.
Yeah, and we actually have a performer who's playing one of the game leads who we know from Zanzani, one of the very first people I ever directed there. So it's really deep roots there.
She's a German 6'2" dominatrix.
Yodeling
dominatrix named Manuela Horn.
I had a nickel.
And I was her first director 20 years ago. And, you know, the loyalty that we've created with Enjoy Productions has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, we all know each other. We try to pay our performers the most we can possibly pay, given whatever the budget is. And people really connect to it. But the Zanzani model informed our whole model.
Yeah, it's been a big growing up space for me.
Okay, next, Ariel.
Well, people keep saying, is there circus in this? And there's a circus moment, and it's going to be a complicated one because in my head, right from the beginning, I've had this vision that when Cupid falls in love, he falls on his own arrow, and then he lands at Psyche's feet, basically. And in the show, he will, hopefully, we're going to find out, with meeting with the rigger next week, be clipped into a zip line on one part of the venue. And when Venus says, Cupid, get rid of that thing over there. She's annoying me. She's, you know, taking all the men from my shrine and I need her gone. And he's like, Mom, God. So he zip lines in. And as he gets near to where Psyche is on her platform, he does a full front flip, falls on his arrow, and then lands on the base of her stage looking up at her.
Whoa.
And falls in love with her.
So she does keep saying it. She's said it 100 times now. So
if
she's going to make it.
Once, I've said it 100
times. She's
going
to make it happen.
It's
but
true.
That's the aerial component to the extent that that's aerial.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a circus show at all. I mean, it has elements of all kinds of things in it. But
it has a little piece of everything you've ever done.
A little piece.
It does. It has a little piece of vaudeville. It has a piece of burlesque. It has musical theater. It has incredible acting. It has aerial. It has audience interactivity. And it's in the flying trapeze space of Emerald City, which is an amazing venue that is now run in conjunction with Sanka, which is the biggest circus school, one of the biggest circus schools in the country. And Seattle has, with Zanzani and Cirque du Soleil and Ariel, blah, 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 This incredible atmosphere of circus that we've been part of as well for years.
And of course, this all speaks to everything that you've tied together in your work with Enjoy Productions.
I mean, it's a very big branch out from what we normally do with Enjoy. You know, over the last, I mean, we started Enjoy in the early 2000s. In 2008, I did Rebel Women. Kevin's done a couple of concerts that have been completely art for art's sake. But for the most part, a client will say, we want to have a 2,000 person or 35,000 person party and the theme is this.
Or we have an auction where we have to raise $100,000.
And then we get to develop a storyline or a themed feeling, costuming and performers, and fill it out and turn it into this world. But it's not usually story-based.
Right.
And so... And it's always at the service of whatever the client is trying to accomplish.
And it's not for sales to tickets to the public. And we're not renting the venue and figuring all that out.
And that's true, too, is like people say to me all the time, when can I see what you're doing? When can I see what you're doing? And I think, well, I really can't invite you to this event because it's for this private company.
Yeah.
And so this is a chance for people to come see what we're doing. Yeah. It's really fun in that way. You know, it's like... public.
We're talking to Martha Ensign and Kevin Joyce here on KVSH, this KVSH special. I'm Jeff Hoyt. We're talking about Venus and the Vixens. And you talked at the fundraiser, Martha, about just going off with, is it Sari, and creating this thing. And it sounds like it was just like an intent. You just, let's go.
Kind of was.
Yeah.
I like the image that
it
you have.
It was a yurt, actually, not a tent.
Yeah, Jeff, it wasn't actually either of those. It was a cabin down on the water. But
no, intent. Intent. But I want to hear about that. I want to hear about that process of going off and creating this thing.
I had the script pretty well written. Uh-huh. And I knew where the storyline needed to go. And in fact, today I was talking to David Armstrong, who's dramaturging the show, about how I really want him to look at the songs to make sure that they're carrying the story, because that's a piece I'm not familiar with, really. Mm-hmm. But we had a week set aside. Sari Breznow, who is the musical director, wrote the scores and a lot of the lyrics for the show. And Kayla Bailey, who's playing Venus and is also a songwriter, and came out and worked on the songs as well. So the three of us had a retreat for 5 days. And I remember thinking before it happened, oh, this is just going to be really intimidating. And I woke up the first morning at about 4 a.m. and I wrote down the entire song for all the lyrics for one of the songs. And I was like, oh,
wow.
Okay. Maybe this isn't going to be so hard. Yeah. And it was like a flood. The three of us just went deep in, and it was so amazing. It was an amazing process. And we wrote all the lyrics for 11 songs.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's still one being written right now. And then
deeply satisfying.
Oh my God. I really don't know how we would have done it otherwise. It just happened. And then, of course, we would have figured out. But Sari went off and wrote the scores for all the songs. So uh-huh. She did all the score writing. And they're so
Kayla wrote
fantastic.
One score, I think.
For Heat It Up.
Yes.
And it's just been an amazing process with these women. It's been amazing and really, really heartfelt and trusting and joyous. So that's been cool.
Sounds like a song cue to me. We have a little 90-second sampler that you sent over.
Well, it's the opening tune, followed by the warning from the Vixens to Cupid that she's a human, don't fall in love with her, and then followed by a snippet of the Money song, which is Cupid singing, Mom, please let me love her, choose love.
And this was recorded in a concert
that we did last February, yeah. A year ago.
Okay.
At the Rabbit Box in Seattle.
Shall we listen?
Mm-hmm.
These are songs from, portions of songs from Venus and the Vixens right here on KVSH.
Venus and the Vixens.
Who will worship at the altar of a Venus?
Venus and the Vixens.
Remember, you can't win if you don't play.
Venus and the Vixens.
It's now or never. What are you waiting for?
And it's love will be your guide. Now it's time to risk your heart. We will help you if we can, but the game is about to start.
The stakes do get higher when games of the heart. We're here to help break the ice, so let's start. Wanna know how to play? Let's practice. I'll say game on to begin, and you'll all jump right in. Now for this first one, here's what you're gonna do.
I beg you, please don't let your pride and envy rule the day. Mama, please choose love. It's what you always say. Please choose love, choose it now. Listen to my heart. You can take away the pain, Mama. Don't let it break apart.
That is Venus and the Vixens. Martha Ensign, Kayla Bailey, and everybody involved in the show. Kevin Joyce is here with us. We're just talking about this amazing creation that is going to be, again, the dates?
May 30th to mm-hmm. June 16th, Thursday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
At Emerald City Trapeze, the event starts at 6:30, and the event starts at 6:30. You'll want to be there at the beginning because it's going to be a whole bunch of fun right from the doors opening.
And that clip featured Joel Domenico singing Choose Love with songs written by Sari Breznow.
Yeah, wonderful stuff. And Kayla Bailey, whom I've not known as long as you have, she was 7 when you got to know her. I met her... I think she must. She might have been in her early 20s when she appeared at the very first Church of Great Rain show that was in open space.
Yeah.
And Kayla and the Flames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And they
the
just...
The Dangerous Flares.
Dangerous Flares. Yeah. I knew there was fire involved.
Yeah, yeah.
It was. They just absolutely blew my doors off.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, was she as on it at seven?
At seven.
Yeah.
She absolutely was.
She's always had that.
She's always had it. And I've told her recently that she was born to play this role because she's flamboyant. She is powerful. She's embodied the sauciness of Venus, the goddess of love. And Martha made a brilliant, brilliant choice. Of course, she's a super close friend. She's basically family. So that's always complicated. But they're doing really, really well together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a beautiful cast.
And tell me a little bit about this venue. Again, it's...
It's a circus school.
Uh-huh.
And it was an independent circus school called Emerald City Trapeze Arts. And then last year, Sanka, which is the Seattle School for Acrobatic and New Circus Arts in Seattle, bought Emerald City Trapeze. And so they've merged, which is really great because it's basically just a huge community that's worked back and forth in both venues. And so now there's two spaces and one entity that's running them. And I think there's another space out in Auburn that they're also managing. And it's just been a really big move for them. And so we're really psyched because in renting that venue, we're also able to support the circus community, which is just great.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Full name is Venus and the Vixens.
Games of Love.
Games of Love.
And that's because of the games that start the show and the games in the middle of the challenges for Venus. And because, at least from Mars' perspective, the tagline is you can't win if you don't play.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to play Twister.
You don't have to. No
you
one is forced.
You definitely don't have to play.
Jeff, no one is forced to play any of the games.
It's a consensual event. Did I not say that?
Yes, I did. I saw the Twister, and I just thought, at approaching 70... I think not.
You're gonna let that go.
We're doing adult Twister with the holes and the colors are on the walls. You just stand there and put your hands on them. that was a Bette McCumber's idea.
I like that much better. Tell us about the Kickstarter.
Well, it is day 7.
Yeah.
We are raising $60,000, which is all money that is gonna go towards paying all of these artists. I mean, there's a cast, crew, designers, technicians, everybody needs to get paid. And it's always been our policy to pay people a working wage, a fair wage for what they do. And that means when you're working for a corporation that you give them a budget and they say, great, here's the money. And then you work out, you know, how you're going to pay everybody and it all works.
And it's not all the fundraising we're doing. It is basically filling the gap. Mm-hmm. We've had some incredible support from Islanders who've known us forever. And it's a group of folks that we went and asked and said, we have Shun Pike, this amazing organization in Seattle that is a 501c3 that allows tax-deductible donations. But the Kickstarter is a chance for people to get in at a kind of a ground level and get some rewards of free tickets. And I want to tell you about one thing we created for the island that is yet to take off, which is the Vashon Party Bus.
I saw that on the page.
This is a reward level. If you haven't listened to this show up until now, you should be listening right now.
It's a big donation for a lot of people. It's $450, but it gives you 2 tickets to the show, VIP seating, and you walk across the boat to a fancy bus on the other side that picks up 32 Islanders with little cans of champagne, and they drive you to the venue, and they wait for you, and then they drive you home to the 10:30 boat. And it's going to be like carte blanche, fantastic Vashon experience, and there's only 16 of them available.
Okay.
And so we really want to ask everybody to consider...
Consider the party bus.
Because if you're going to donate anyway, that's a reward that you are going to reap a lot of benefit from.
And, you know, we don't want to have to buy them all up ourselves and then force our friends to go. We really want friends and people that we don't know because, you know, everyone going from Vashon will have that connection. And it'll be a really special thing. This show feels like it's being created by, through, and for the island as a gift to culture right now. It feels like sort of the best of Vashon that
I
we
think
can
that
give.
That describes art.
Yeah.
So right? Venus and the Vixens, Games of Love, coming May
30th.
And tickets are available online, venusandthevixens.com. And the Kickstarter, you just Google Kickstarter and Venus
Search
and the Vixens.
Venus and the Vixens and you're there.
Yeah, and we really need you there. So come help us out because we really want to do this show for you.
Yep.
Martha Anson, Kevin Joyce.
Jeff Hoyt.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.